So I'm pushing the record button and it is recording. All right. I welcome all of you again. And I welcome particularly Dr. Vila. Dr. Vila has been to Mongolia 3 times, I believe. Is that correct, Dr. Vila?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
And Dr. Vila has helped us on 2 mission trips and then has done an additional trip on top of that. So Dr. Vila, in just a moment, you will be sharing some observations, give us some tips, give us some counsel, some wisdom as we plan and prepare for the medical part of the trip. Then I would like for also Dr. Hillman, who has gone to Mongolia with us most recently, planning to go again with us in August, and she will serve as our medical director. She will help us in organizing the medical part of the trip. So, Nita, I hope that you'll be able to share some thoughts as well. And then finally, last but certainly not least, I'd like for Enke to give us some input as well, and then we'll open it up for everyone to share and ask questions, and we'll go as long as needed. So, and by the way, Dr. Vila has to leave in just a little bit, so we're very thankful for the time that he's able to give us now. So, Raul?
Okay. Yes, thank you, Ace. Thanks so much. It's nice to talk to each one of you. I just wanted to give you some ideas about Mongolia from the medical point of view. So basically, since Mongolia is such a cold country, in Mongolia, they don't have a lot of, you know, parasites. So if you go on a mission trip to like Caribbean area or Africa, you'll see parasites. So there are not, you know, intestinal parasites in Mongolia. So what you will be seeing is mainly non-transmittable diseases. So you will be seeing a lot of hypertension, a lot of like a peptic ulcer disease, huge amounts of osteomuscular complaints, neck pains and back pains, osteoarthritis. You will be seeing a lot of diabetes. And, you know, some patients with some liver disease. There is a significant incidence of alcohol intake in Mongolia. So you will be seeing some cases probably with cirrhosis. There are some cases with hepatitis C. And just the regular stuff that you will see in the clinic, you know, some people probably with a cold and there. But it's mainly all these chronic comorbidities. Something that I want you to remember is the way they, you know, they express their symptoms. So you will be having a translator to talk to them in Mongolian. But I encourage you to try to learn just a few phrases like, you know, welcome or what is your name, things like that. However, they will tell you many times that they have kidney pain. So they talk about having kidney pain is not really a pyelonephritis or something like that. It's mainly back pain, but they refer that as kidney pain. And you will see that over and over again. They also talk about having pancreas problems. And when they translate to you, they will tell you pancreas problems, and not, most of the time, it's not going to be really pancreas problems. It's going to be like a peptic ulcer disease or gastritis or duodenitis or something of that nature. I just wanted to let you know also that in Mongolia, some of the patients are going to bring to you a small book with their medical history. Apparently, there each patient has his own chart, his own medical history. So when he goes to see a doctor at the clinic, the doctor writes in this, like a notebook, writes, you know, the prescriptions, and they staple their labs or results, and they have like a ultrasounds or EGDs, colonoscopies in these notebooks. Most of everything there is going to be in either Mongolian or Russian. However, some tests, especially like I have seen EGDs, colonoscopies, where the conclusion is going to be in English. But still, you will be able to read some of the labs. I think probably, you know, if you see a UA, a urinalysis in Mongolian, still you can figure out, you know, if this was specific gravity or white cells, or if you see a CBC, you still will be able to figure out which one was the white blood cell or the platelets or the hemoglobin and so forth. So something that is very important first is try not to harm. So that's why we have decided not to use any medication that we cannot monitor. So we have decided, an example, not to use statins, because, you know, we cannot monitor what the liver function of these patients is going to be, or if they have, you know, liver disease, we don't want to do that. Secondly, they take medications, and all these medications, they know the name in Mongolian or Russian. So it's kind of sometimes very difficult to know what are they taking. However, sometimes you can identify them by the ending of the medication. So, in example, it's very common for them to take captopril or losartan. Losartan is very common there. Captopril, losartan, and they call amdipine. Amdipine is amlodipine, or our Norvax here. So you will hear that. You will hear losartan, very similar to English. You will hear captopril. But there are other medications that are in Mongolian or Russian. And we were talking with Dr. Hillman trying to get somehow a list of some of these names so we could try to use it beforehand. So when we have gone, we have brought some medications. We have brought vitamins and a list of medications that probably Dr. Hillman will be able to make available to you down the road. And we also have brought glasses. So glasses have been a sensation. Many people have been able to benefit from the glasses, and basically reading glasses. And also, from the medication point of view, we have brought some, you know, antibiotics, but mainly, you know, cardiovascular medications, medications for peptic ulcer disease, anti-inflammatory medications. However, Mongolia has a list of medications that you are forbidden to bring into the country. In example, you know, sometimes like Tylenol and other medications that, you know, sometimes you don't find a clear reason as to why they don't allow you, but they have a list and we try to go by with that. I encourage you to bring some extra artificial tears. You're going to see that almost 95% of the adults have pterygium due to the dry air during the winter season. So you can bring some extra artificial tears as well. So basically what we really want is to make connections with the people. They have their clinics from the government, and they go and they can see physicians. They have to, most of the time, pay for medications. But what we want to make is connections. So we want to have a listening ear. We want to have kindness. We want to pray with them. In the past two clinics, we have set up a triage area where the patient has been prayed for, and he has been prayed for while seeing the provider and also while receiving medications. They also have been last time we brought some TENS unit for TENS therapy for osteomuscular problems. And there was a physician who was a DO, and he was doing some manipulative therapy. So they had benefits from that. So I guess it's going to be really a blessed experience for each one of you. And people are extremely kind. They are very appreciative for anything that you can do, and I think, you know, each one of you is going to enjoy being there. So in summary, really a lot of non-transmittable diseases. Remember those, you know, phrases, you know, kidney pain, pancreas problems, what they really mean, and the charts that you can review. Not everybody will bring those. And I'll just try. Sometimes you will see a lot of people, but I think the most important part is try to bring them to Jesus. So always invite them to the meetings at night, and then just, you know, try to do your best with what you have at hand. And I think, you know, you will receive the greatest blessing.
All right, Raul, thank you so much. I'm sure your comments have spurred some.
I don't know if they have some questions right away, then I could answer a few questions before I go.
Yeah, that's good. Let's do this. Instead of having Nita talk, let's give a chance for the questions that might come up. So just unmute yourself and identify yourself first so that Raul knows who he's talking to and who he's listening to, and go ahead with your questions.
I'm Gloria Michael, and I'm a nurse practitioner, and I just wondered, are children usually treated or just adults? Because I know you were emphasizing adults.
Mm-hmm. So you want to know if they also have children? Yeah, so we have a variety of populations. So we have kids and adults. So basically with the adults, what we have seen is mainly just the typical stuff that you see at the clinics. Some problems with ears, some conjunctivitis, like otitis, just runny nose. And so most of the time what I saw is not a particular concern. They just want, the doctor that is coming to visit to check the kid and be sure that he or she is doing fine and probably get some vitamins. That also, I have seen. But yeah, you're going to see, kids as well. Although I could say that probably the majority of the population were adults, that you will see also a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is Josh Long. I'm a surgeon, and I was wondering if there's any potential to bring local anesthetic and do minor procedures, stitch up wounds, things like that.
Yeah, so good question. So last mission three, we brought an example, some lidocaine with some steroids, and we did an example, some joint injections on knees and shoulders. I will defer this to NK at the end, because there are some kind of regulations in Mongolia about doing kind of procedures in a non-clinical setting, and we're going to be working at the churches, especially with disposition of anything that has blood and so forth. But it seems that they're a little bit picky about that. So and to this point, we have not been able to do such procedures at the clinics. However, they have clinics close by, and we have been working in cooperation with them in the past. So I expect that if there are some procedures that could be done, I think that can be easily arranged at the local clinic. If you have a lipoma or something like that you want to remove or something of that nature, I think that could be done at the local clinic. So you can see the patient and probably try to schedule for the next day or so.
Josh, let me add to what Raul said, and nice to have you here all the way from Colorado. Every clinic that we run is connected with a government, an official government clinic. So, they have given us permission. They have given us, their blessing. And so we have a very good relationship with the community clinic. Every subdivision in Ulaanbaatar has a clinic, and these clinics, lack in a lot of areas, staffing and medication, et cetera, but, and that's why they're glad that we are coming and giving a hand. So it would be a matter of us connecting with that clinic and clearing things, and I'm sure that something could be done at the clinic if a minor surgery needed to be done.
Thank you, Eve.
Just to add to what the question is mentioned, I just spoke with Enke concerning this. So Josh, in that, or anyone who is a surgeon or wants to do procedures, they're asking that it specifically be done in the clinic, as they mentioned, and so we can actually coordinate ahead of time, now that we know that there are surgeons who are willing to do that, maybe coordinate some time for you to actually be at the clinic and available for those things to be done ahead of time. They just cannot be done at the site of the church itself. But for those of you who are surgeons, and we'll take we will make a list of what each person's specialties are and what you're willing to contribute, what you feel comfortable with doing while we're there. And for those who have procedures that they're willing to offer, we'll make that known to the local clinic so that maybe we can set up specific times that you are available and people know that they can come to you to have procedures done. That way then you're able to practice what you what you're able
Do the clinics have all the supplies that would be needed, or will we be needing to arrange suture and scalpels and other things?
We don't know that for sure. When I talked with NK, we don't know what supplies that they have there, but once we have an idea of what kinds of procedures they will allow us to do, then we can make sure that we find out what the basic supplies are, and find out from you guys what you typically need and what their needs, what their supplies are, and make sure that you know that ahead of time what you'll have available to you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead. This is Larry Soule. I'm a physical therapist. Is there anything that I can do that would be a benefit to the clinic?
Could you repeat the question, please?
I am a physical therapist.
Okay.
Is there anything I can bring with me that would be helpful to use in the clinic?
Yeah, I think, you know, you will be extremely helpful because, as I said, there is a lot of osteomuscular problems. At the clinic, we don't have any, you know, any tools for a PT, but anything that you could bring, I think, will be helpful. Like last time, an example, we brought these small stents units, and they helped, you know, a lot of people. But if you can bring, you know, anything that you could bring from, you know, wherever you practice, or that you could see that helps some people with problems in joints on wrists or shoulders or knees, anything will be helpful, because that's, I would say, probably, you know, 35% of the consults in adults are going to be, or 30% are going to be osteomuscular disease. I mean, you will certainly be really busy.
Okay, very good. I have some ideas. I have some stuff I can bring with me, so I'm looking forward to that.
Larry, be assured that you're going to be very popular.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, hi, this is Wes McDonald. I have one question. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Wes, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm a registered nurse and a pastor, both. And my question is this, you know, since we're actually working in a country with a government, I worked in Somalia before, so we didn't worry about a lot of things, but in a country with a government, when we arrive or somehow, is there something we need to do with respect to, you know, indicating the validity of our licensure or anything such as this?
Yeah, so what we, about licensing, what we have done is each provider, so anybody that is in the health field will need to make a copy of their, you know, a scan, their license, either dental, medical, PT, nursing license, and send that email to NK from the Health and Temperance Department so she could print out those, have those available. So each person that is in the health field will need to scan the license and send it to NK, to the email of NK.
Raul, let me ask you a question along those lines. Does that include nurses as well, or just the primary
nurses? That includes nurses, physicians, dentists, and physical therapists. That's what she told us last time, so that's what we had done so far.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Because when I worked in Somalia, we didn't worry about it because there was no government. I knew there was some difference here, so thank you.
Yeah, so the government there, I mean, the country is very safe, you know. I mean, you will feel very safe over there. However, you know, they have some restrictions. For example, I mean, they are not too keen on the fact of, you know, bringing medications into the country. So during our first mission trip, one of the physicians was bringing, you know, some bunch of medications, but in a way that it was easy to be known that this were, you know, kind of something was, he was bringing something in that trunk. So we basically lost half of the medications in customs, so we couldn't use them. So the last mission trip, what we did is we just divided all the medical supplies among many of us, and we just brought those in our, you know, regular suitcases, and we have no problems. Every 100% of what we pack arrives safely into Mongolia. And so each one of you also will have, you know, some letters from, it is written from the Mongolia mission, and if you're bringing medications also from the provider of these medications that says that these medications are to be used just to provide free care, and these are not for sale in case you have any problem in any of the customs, you know, if you're stopping in Korea or China or even in Mongolia.
By the way, let me add to this. I will be sending you an email inviting you to help us get all these things over to Mongolia. We're going to be purchasing through a nonprofit organization medication. Then we will have contact you and ship it to you so that then you can help us bring it into Mongolia. So I'm hoping that many hands will make the burden a whole lot lighter. That's number one. That's medication. Also, we're planning to take over a lot of Beanie Babies. We're planning to work at orphanages, as you've heard. And so we are going to need you to maybe take a few Beanie Babies along and so that we can distribute them. So just a heads up on that.
Will we then need like a letter explaining why we're taking them, or we won't have any? That won't matter.
You won't have any problems. You know, as you know, the reason that the one gentleman had the medication stopped, it was in a case that almost said, please open me. If you put your stuff in your luggage, part of your stuff, they won't bother you. It's just, if you come with a big, huge case, then it's like, oh, wait a second.
Okay.
And yeah, in worst case scenario, if for anything, I mean, if you get stopped, I mean, worst case scenario, I mean, they won't let you, you know, bring the medication into the country. But if you distribute the medication among many of you, I mean, there will be no problem. Last time, 100% of what we packed, you know, arrived safely. So.
And Pastor Eve does provide a letter, one that is an invitation from the Mongolia mission, that letting us know that we are invited to come and to participate. So you will have that there. And additionally, for those of you who choose to, what Raul, Dr. Villa did for us, that were carrying the medications, when we each had a letter that was sealed by Blessings International, where we purchased the medication from, that said that the medications were being used for the purpose of just service and not for sale. So that will be provided if you are carrying medications via one of the entities that we purchase the medications from ourselves.
That's right.
So it will be important for each one of you, you know, even if you're a physician, a nurse, a physical therapist, a dentist. So if you have, an example, you know, like a blood pressure, you know, blood pressure machine, blood pressure cuff, you know, I would definitely will bring that, and your stethoscope, if you have like a, you know, otoscope, you know, things like that, that you will be using, definitely, you know, will bring those. During the first mission trip, there was a retired physician who, you know, he did ultrasound when he was practicing. So he brought his small portable ultrasound, and he did ultrasound, and he had a few other things, you know, to check hemoglobin, you know, some gadgets that, you know, were very useful. So if you have things that you feel that could be useful, I will just bring them.
All right. Well, Raul, I know you've got to run. I appreciate you hanging out with us for quite a while here. And I'm going to turn the time over to Anita so that she can share her thoughts and observations as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, many blessings on the trip, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Nita Hillman. I'm one of the physicians that I had privileged to work with Pastor Eve and Dr. Avila on this last mission trip. And my husband and I are looking forward to helping on this next mission trip together. I'll just very briefly mention, has everyone that is on the on right now, did everyone have a chance to listen to Dr. Vila's summary of what we do?
Yes.
Was there anyone who missed the summary of what we do? Basic?
I've missed the summary, but I will listen to it.
Okay. All right. So, in essence, we're there in the clinics. We'll be set up with, at the present time, the understanding from NK, meaning the head of the health missions in the health department in Mongolia missions, is reporting that we're going to be at three different sites at the present time is what the plan is, and the team will be split up with physicians at those sites. If the other option, as we mentioned, that for those who do want to do surgical procedures, if the local governments are willing to do that, we will have certain times set up at the local clinics. But for the most part, most of the patients will be seen in three separate churches. And Dr. Vila mentioned, again, that mainly what you're going to be seeing are common chronic diseases. Some of the things that were helpful for me to know when I went there, they have a very short growing season, meaning that it is not uncommon for many of the people that we talked to when we were taking a history to not have eaten a fruit or vegetable in a very long time. So that's not not uncommon. And so when we were giving health advice and sharing with people, you know, increase fruits and vegetables, it's not always a practical thing that they are actually able to do. One, it's because of the growing season, and then the other thing is because once they buy these things, they're very, very expensive to be purchased. So most people subsist on, when we ask people to tell us what they were eating from day to day, the things that they would mention are bread and milk and derivatives of milk, what they call milk tea and other things like that, and then meat. And those are even those that are in the city. So as such, then you can imagine that many of the chronic diseases that you will see are heart disease is the number one medical problem that most people will quote-unquote die of, heart disease. Some stroke, but high blood pressure. It's not uncommon to see young people, and I'm saying young people in their 20s and 30s with blood pressures, 180s, 200, systolic. So you'll see that is a very common manifestation. It's not uncommon when we did your analysis to see people with protein in their urine, so to see chronic kidney disease beginning actually very early. So those are the things that you'll see. And again, very grateful to have a physical therapist. I'm not sure how many physical therapists we have on the trip so far. Two, okay. So we're going to be dividing you among those three sites. We'll be trying to make sure that each site has physical therapists. For those of you who also know how to be able to do just simple low back exercises from other physical therapists and things, I mean, that'll be just very, very helpful and beneficial if you are knowledgeable in those areas to bring those things, to give people things that they can practically do where they are. But again, as mentioned, because we are limited, I send out an email next week to those of you who are participating in the medical portion of this, I will send out a letter of the medications that they have said that we cannot bring into the country, and we're just asking please to be very careful about that. This last trip, interestingly, one that would sometimes not make sense is, for example, Tylenol. We're not allowed to bring Tylenol or any Tylenol derivatives, acetaminophen derivatives, into the country because of a high prevalence of liver disease and liver issues. So, you know, when we're treating a lot of pain, it was NSAIDs that were used, not Tylenol. So you just have to be being creative and being able to help people in simple things that they can do to be able to turn around these disease processes are more helpful than just the medications, because we will be limited in what we can give. Interestingly, we did bring metformin last time, but all diabetes medications are not allowed to be, are theoretically not allowed to be brought into the country either. Even the diabetes is very prominent in that, you will see that there. So again, being able to share as much as you can from a lifestyle perspective is very helpful. the most important thing that we did, really, truly, people just want to be heard and to be listened to. I'll tell you, even if we didn't have answers necessarily for them, the graciousness and the care and the kindness that was shown to them, many of them made connections with the triage people long before they even saw us and were touched just by their interactions with those in the triage department before they came in and saw us. And so those connections are very important. Another thing that made a big impression for the patients that I had seen is, you know, when we would pray for them, if someone had a back problem, if somebody had an infection, there are actually quite a few, if you're a female, I think it was Gloria, I think you mentioned you're a nurse practitioner, correct? And for those of you who have done women's diseases, especially if you're a female, we had quite a few women who wanted to see a female physician and had questions concerning that. And interestingly, as we talked with them and shared with them, you know, the ways in which Jesus helped people in the Bible with similar problems, the women bent over for many years, or the women with the issue of blood for many years, it was interesting their response as we prayed for them and as we shared with them, you know, Christ was able to do that for them then. He's able to do this for you again now, to touch those diseases and make it personal for them. So, you know, as you're preparing, not just preparing, you know, with the medical knowledge that you have, but being able to relate it back to what Christ did and what Christ can do for them now, really it touches their heart. They're very open, very willing to being prayed with and prayed for. I just encourage you as much as possible to, you know, prepare ahead. If there are verses and other things that you know that can be an encouragement, promises that you can share and pray with, those are things that will be very useful. And then just being careful, please, not to bring any of the medications that are on the list, that we ask not to bring. We will give you a list of the medications that are available. And we'll also give you a list of the diseases so that you guys are able to see again what the common illnesses and diseases are. Enke has mentioned that I will send her a list of the common questions that we will ask to try to minimize issues with translation. We'll make sure that there's a little booklet that you have so that if the translator doesn't understand the question that you are wanting to ask, you'll have a booklet that you can point to the question that you're wanting, and they'll have the, you know, Mongolian translation on the side of that so that we can minimize issues with translation back and forth. We will also, NK very graciously has mentioned, being able to provide pictures so that when people are pointing to areas, you know, they'll say that they have problems with their feet, when in the translation, when you actually have them point to where the problem is actually in their knee. So we're going to utilize pictures as much as possible also to minimize and make sure that we are communicating appropriately what the problems and the issues are. So it's exciting, really, truly. The simple moments and times that you're able to spend with the patient will make quite a bit of difference as you connect with them. And then we, as with always, you know, we ask that as you connect with a patient during the daytime and the evening, look for those patients that come through and connect with them again. Make it a point to search them out and seek them out when they come in the evenings also.
Nita, thank you so very much. Let me tell you, folks, we are very blessed to have her as our medical coordinator. It's a blessing to have you plan and prepare and work closely with all of us. You know, one of the questions we often had, and I'm going to turn the time over in just a second to Enke. So Enke, prepare yourself. But, you know, one of the questions people often have, will my participation make a difference? Will me going all the way to Mongolia, and it's quite an investment in time, it's quite an investment in money, and the question people have, will it make a difference, or is it just an exercise in futility? So, Enke, let me ask you this. We've done so far two clinics, one back last year, at the end of last year, one in April this year. In your opinion, and I know that right next to you is Pastor Bold, and so please don't hesitate to jump in as well. Has our coming made a difference? We cannot hear you. You got to unmute yourself first. There should be a little button there that unmutes you. I cannot unmute you.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Even you don't bring any medication and your presence and your smile, the way you give your ears to the people make big difference. That's what I would say. So it makes more when you do some health clinics. During that time, even there were non-medical professionals, still while they're sitting, it makes big difference. It means the people all the way from around, halfway around the world came and to Mongolia just show how they care about us. That's the big difference for the people around that area in the church.
We are very happy that you have signed up to come to Mongolia, and we appreciate your services. Many of our people here had received good services, and they are very grateful. And as I visit some of those churches that our teams have visited, I hear good words, and they're anxiously waiting for you. So thank you for your service, and thank you for signing up.
Now, both.
We really appreciate it.
Let me ask you this. Has the attendance at the church been impacted by our coming, or there's no change, same as before?
It's a very big difference. For example, Tazgat Church, and we have most of the people now in the church remain faithfully are those who participated October, it's written, a clinic. It's about over 10 people. They are still faithfully remaining. Even that some other people just in a gang, but they are still faithfully remaining there. If you will come and visit, you will see your old friends in Tazgat Church. And also Amazing Grace Church, still the same. It's not only the making connection with the residents around the area. It also makes a big difference making a church to connect with the local government and local family clinic. It will help the church to, in the future, it will help church to get more reputation in that local area.
Well, of course, our church is receiving a lot of encouragement from your team. At the same time, when we see new faces in the church, that is also very helpful. So we last time in Yarmouk, I met several old ladies, and they were so appreciative of the service. They said, see, these people have committed their time and their money, and instead of, you know, going somewhere and then resting, traveling, they came here to serve us. So that's why when on the last day, they came with small candy bars and some gifts, and then they were trying to give it to the people. And they were saying, what would be the appropriate gifts to give? And I said, you know, whatever you share, and when you express you are thankful, that is the best gift that we can give. So I think people are very appreciative, and the church pastors are nowadays asking if the groups could come to their church. So obviously, yeah, it's making a lot of difference.
Good. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing those encouraging words. Any counsel, any wisdom from the two of you? We've heard Dr. Vila share some thoughts. Dr. Hillman has given us some instructions as well. Any words of counsel from you, our hosts?
Actually, we missed some part what Dr. Vila was, you know, in the halfway of Dr. Vila's speech, our connection was cut off. But I can guess that what he was sharing about, maybe it's because you're going to bring some medications with you. So just be careful with the medications you're bringing. And I give very careful instruction on that. And once every of your luggage detained in the airport custom, it's very hard for us to get back. So also I heard there will be some dental equipments coming along with the dentists.
That's cool.
And I'm not a custom officer, can give you guarantee. Another thing is we will try all the required documents. Only let us know and send us the picture and the model number, and we will check. If it is not that big, I have another experience because 2015, June, I invited American Army dentists, and they brought everything with them, but nothing had happened. Only how they brought in was very important. The machine was small. They just put in their check-in luggage, nicely scattered, and then mixed with their personal belongings. Sometimes it's not that we are tricking them, but sometimes it makes little, I would say, convenient to bring in some techniques and equipment. If we will go to the customs office, it creates some more complicated issues. So I want to see how big the equipments are, whatever that they are bringing. And portable EKG machine, I think it's possible. Last time, who was in October 2016, Doctor? His name was Bob. Yeah, he brought also some portable machine with him. It was no problem him to bring it in.
All right. Very good. Any questions for our hosts? They can provide information that probably the rest of us may not be able to provide.
Okay, and Pastor, this is Josh Long again. And, you know, as we get ready to come to your country and try to make personal connections with your people, I'm very curious if there are cultural trends or cultural themes that resonate powerfully with those in Qatar that can be points really to connect gospel themes to.
Well, thank you for the question. So far, our teams had not experienced any difficulty with the cultural issues, and I would say, you know, if you're courteous, and it should be okay. And I don't know if there's anything that I should add on this. Just since this is a big group this time, I think, you know, I don't expect any issues, you know, problems. So just go along, and if you need any help, you know, we would be we will try our best to help. I think the question would be good to Eve, because he has been here in Mongolia for many times, and I think, have you experienced any problem?
Well, Josh and everyone, and thank you, Bold. Mongolia is a very safe country. Yeah, maybe they'll take our medication away. They did that once, and we learned our lesson, and it hasn't happened since. We were a little naive the first time, so we learn and go forward. But there is absolutely no issue about safety, no issue about walking around the city of Ulaanbaatar. People are kind, gracious, just wonderful people. I do not exaggerate when I tell you that Mongolia is in my heart. I love going to Mongolia. The only part I don't like about going to Mongolia is the long trip. It takes a lot to get there, but once I get there, it is worth it. It is absolutely worth it. And to see the impact that we're having just brings much joy to my heart. Now, let me tell you about the meetings in the evening. This is a good time to bring that up. So in the morning, before I get to the evening, in the morning, We meet with the people. We reflect Jesus through our.
11:30.
Oh, you've muted. Okay, thank you. So in the morning, we, through our actions, our teams will meet people and pray with them and listen to them and consult with them. But along the way, one thing you want to do is repeatedly, whether it's done at the beginning when people arrive or when they finally see the doctor, but you want to repeatedly say, hey, don't miss tonight. We are having special meetings and we're going to have a health talk, and what you're going to hear is going to make a difference in your life. And people respond to this. People respond to this. They come. And so in the evening, we do three things. And those three things, actually, we do four things. Number one, and we go from 6 till about 7:30. At 6, we have a nice song service. And Mongolians love to sing, and they love to clap, and they enjoy this. Then number two, we have a children's story. I don't know if the children's story is first or the health talk, but I think the children's story comes first. So we have a good children's story, and it's a Bible story. It's the stories that you may think, man, everyone knows those stories. Well, they do know them here in our countries, but they don't know them in Mongolia. People there don't know much about Christianity. 97% of the population is either atheist, agnostic, or Buddhist. And they just don't know about Jesus. So, and they don't know about the Bible. So the stories, you can tell them beautiful stories and, you know, to use puppets, for example, or nice visual aids is very much appreciated. So that's the second part. Then the third part is the health talk. So I hope that some of you doctors and nurse practitioners, or anyone, nurses for that matter, who have an interest in maybe doing a health talk, you'll be able to help us with that. And we'll begin the schedule and work on this. So plan and prepare for health talks in the evening. And that's about half hour or so. And with slides, that's even better. And then the last part of the evening is what I call the Jesus talks. Again, this here is an introduction to Jesus. So this is not an evangelistic series where you touch on Revelation 13 and 14 and some of the heavier topics. You simply introduce them to Jesus. Who is Jesus? What does he mean to you? Share stories about Jesus when he walked in Jerusalem and in Israel. You know, there's so much to share, different parts of Jesus. So Pastor Jamie Houghton, I think, will be helping me. Maybe Wes, your pastor, maybe I can enlist you to help me with that as well. But we're going to preach in a kind, loving way to these people and just share with them the love of Jesus Christ. And those four things, let me tell you, have a profound impact. We invite them to make decisions, and people respond. People respond. Let me tell you, the church leaders, the pastors, take the people's names, and they know who they are. And I've been very impressed. The pastors and the church members follow these people up and build a relationship. So our presence is opening the doors for them to connect with the community. And it's like Bold and Anke have said, it's having a very significant impact. So that in a nutshell is the day. Mornings and afternoons, we consult with people in the clinics. Evenings, we open God's word, we share stories, we sing, we introduce them to Jesus Christ.
Eves, this is Charles Wilkins. Do you hear me?
I hear you well, Charles. Nice to hear you.
Yes, I got in just a little late because after coming home from prayer meeting and going through my email, all of a sudden I saw that email from you, and then I had to download the app before I could get on. So I got part of Dr. Vila's. And is it Dr. Hillman, the one that's going to be our director?
Yes, Nita Hillman.
Nita Hillman. Good. I have just a couple questions. A couple are medical and others aren't. One, as far as medicine is concerned, hearing about their diet, What about vitamins and vitamin D? Do we take that? Is that something you can take into the country, or how do they look at that?
Yes, they actually, vitamins were one of the things, and Enke, please correct me if I'm wrong, when I looked at the last list that you gave Dr. Vila, vitamins were one of the acceptable things that could be brought in without difficulty. Is that still the case?
Actually, the vitamins, because of the vitamins, the first time we had a little trouble because there were lots of vitamins. And if you will hide nicely, I'm sorry, I have to tell this. You can bring some vitamins, like a vitamin complexes and especially vitamin D and some others.
Well, let me just say this. I was one that helped in with brought these big bottles or containers of vitamins, etc., and then we split them up and put them in little baggies. So I know we took vitamins there. So Charles, yes, vitamins we'll take. Again, we've got to be just discreet. And the second trip we had there, no problems whatsoever. All medication, all vitamins, all pills made it in without any issues.
But that seems like that would be a great need. Do we take dipsticks? You mentioned hypertension being one of the major diseases for just doing urines for sugar and protein and that. Do we need to bring those and bring things along, or will that be purchased elsewhere, or how does that work?
So that's part of the there are urine dipsticks that are provided at each site, so we will have that. But again, almost, I would have to say, probably at least 60% of the patients will come in with some type of initially, you know, when they're describing it, some type of urinary complaint. So we do quite a few of those. So if you want to bring some along, that would be great. We wouldn't have too many if you brought some more, but there will be sufficient provided at each site for that.
Another question I have, what is the education level, the average educational level of the people there for what we will be, you know, asking them or talking to them or what, just to give us some idea on that?
Excuse me, let me. We have an agreement with the local government that we're going to bring the medical doctors from the States. Our target area is, with our agreement with the local government, is poor, we call it ultra-poor, and disabled community, which is social status BC, lower.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Our target.
All right. I mean, that's fine. I just wondering for things that we need to bring. It seems like with their problems with musculoskeletal problems, that and I hope our physical therapist that would be along would help us with home treatments that we would have protocols for something if we knew what's available to the people that would help them, you know, either exercises or heat treatments, or if they can even, maybe they can't even provide hot water or heat. We need, I guess, if anybody can provide us with what do they have available, so that we can kind of come up with ideas to utilize, you know, what they have. It doesn't do any good to tell them, well, you use fomentations and they can't heat it up, you know.
So that's one of the things that we did. So the last time that I went, with every patient that I saw, we just took a basic history just to find out what is available. There are quite a few patients that do not have access to running water, per se, and those that do have access to the water, it is they bring the water such that the water is used mainly for cooking and bathing and not as available for other things. But what we found is that most people have enough access to water to be able to do simple treatments, like, for example, hot foot baths. We were even able to show them how to do fomentations with towels, and just because they were able to boil water, even though they don't have necessary access to a microwave per se, they have access to towels and to enough water to be able to do, to make their own home fermentations, and they were helpful, and we had patients that came back and told us that they did use them at home. But again, the simpler the treatment protocol, just like you said, making it practical for them,
yes,
the better.
What about charcoal? Is that available to them?
They don't have charcoal. But you will get a list of things. So some of the similar properties that are found in charcoal that are helpful, they do have. There's another product that they have available, but I'll give you a list of comparable things that they were able to have. NK, do you know? I forget the name. There's a specific name of something that they were, that the other physician that was with us in the country locally, that was using in place of charcoal, that had absorptive properties that were similar to charcoal. Do you remember what that was by any chance? It was something local in Mongolia. I'll have to get the name for you.
Okay. So we could purchase that there if we needed you to give to the folks?
It was not as readily available, so it is not going to be a common treatment per se. It's a common, something that everybody would have access to.
Another question. I hate to be taking all this time, but all these questions. You're talking about we'll be going to orphanages. Is that right?
That's correct, Charles.
Okay. Now, should we try to take things for kids? I mean, like balloons, pencils, paper pads?
Absolutely. What we are bringing, it is written, has collected. It was absolutely a miracle, and my assistant is online here, and she can give you details very broadly. But we kind of sent an email out and did some Facebook appeals for Beanie Babies. And
yes,
have mercy, Charles. We received, I think, so far, Melissa, how many? About 5,000?
Yeah, 5,000.
Unbelievable. So we took them to Zimbabwe, and we distributed hundreds there, actually close to 2,000 in Zimbabwe. We brought a lot to Mongolia, and the ones we did not give away in April, we put them somewhere so we can give them away next time. But we'll need a lot more since we're headed to the orphanages. So if you've got things that are light and easy to bring, please bring them. But we're planning to take Beanie Babies. And Beanie Babies, let me tell you, if they were a hit 10, 15 years ago with everyone in the U.S., in Canada probably, right, Michael? They are a hit in Mongolia as well. Kids love them and parents love them. So, yes, bring things for children, no question.
So pencils, balloons, such things like that, do they need that? Is that acceptable?
Anke, this is a question for you, I think.
Sorry, again?
The question is for the orphanages, pencils, balloons,
Sure, because the orphanage we are going has the age group from 2 to... We can go to, if you want to divide your group into 2 or 3 inside that same place, the age starting from 2... up to 17. That's the age range in over 200 kids, and it's they have a primary and kinder and preschoolers and middle, you know, schoolers. So they divide it into 4 or 5 groups. So yes, definitely they need all the papers, pencils, coloring books, whatever.
I just have a question. Michael Dunbar here from British Columbia, Canada. In terms of access to medications, for example, if you take something like vitamin D3 over there, you know, typically they would have to be on that for an extended period of time. Do they have access to get something like that over there once they've left the clinic? Say they leave with a week's supply. Are they able to go somewhere and get more vitamin D3 or vitamins or anything like that?
This is one reason why we're trying to not maximize the use of medications, because for half the patients that we talked to, that was another very direct question we asked, was how likely they were, one, to go and to purchase the medications or be able to purchase the medications. Many of them had run out of the medications they already had there, and they could not, and they couldn't, they said that they would not be able to continue them. So in a sense, it is not, when we tried to make sure that they actually got a month's supply of whatever it is that we did give them, but we did not want to use anything that would have withdrawal effects if they were not able to continue taking those medications continually. So it's a very good question. So again, we're trying to emphasize things that they can continue to use. So that's where things, you know, home remedies, I guess you'd say, come into play, and as much as far as health education is concerned, will make more of a difference than the medications that we take.
Yeah. What is general hygiene like over there? Is that a big issue? Or, you know, a lot of times in, if you travel third world, then general hygiene is a big challenge, and even just training people how to wash properly or take care of themselves hygienically can make a big difference in terms of even dermatological issues.
Actually, so we would, so that's another set of questions that we asked the patients as we were visiting with them. Hygiene is actually not as big of an issue there. In fact, they tend to be very impeccable. Now, it depends on who you see. Those that live within the city and have access to water, hygiene is actually very there are no issues with hygiene. Those that live further out in some of the Gera districts where they don't have as much access to water, they do not necessarily or do not have as easy access to water, then washing hands, for example, is something that is very important to communicate because hepatitis is also common. Hepatitis A, for example, is also very common from oral fecal transmission there. But so those basic things are very, very helpful to communicate.
All right, folks, I know we could go on. Let's probably begin to wrap it up. NK just emailed me to let me know she had a meeting with ADVA and the government, and so she had to leave, and she sends her greetings and looks forward to interacting with you by email. I've included her email in all the info that I have sent so far, and the reason I've done that is she welcomes Bold, who was there with us a moment ago, also welcomes emails. Do not hesitate to communicate directly with them. They welcome your questions, and they are very prompt in responding. So we are working with an excellent group of people. Sometimes when we go on mission trips, we deal with a lot of disorganization and problems and infrastructure that is very questionable. Not in this case. We have a group of people who are very dedicated, very organized, know what they're doing, and we are truly in good hands. So not only do we have a good infrastructure there, we have a good one here at It Is Written as well, I believe. By the way, that was George just a moment ago. George is the and now that's Bold. You guys are playing tricks on me. So we had George the treasurer just a moment ago, and now we have Bolt back. So anyway, we're blessed to be working with a good any final questions as we begin to land here and finish our call? Any final questions? Bolt is here. He can answer as well. Go ahead, Charles.
Just one. Could you email us their email addresses then?
Absolutely. When I send all the emails out, and Charles, since you just got on with us on, regarding this journey, you may not have seen, but I include their emails. And by the way, if you got the email today, they were included in there as well as carbon copies. So you'll see Enke's name, those weird names, those strange names. Sorry, Bold. They're our Mongolian friends.
Okay. Good.
All right. Well, again, we may conclude here, and there may be still more questions. Do not hesitate to email back to me if there's more, or email Bold and NK, and we will do our very best to prepare you well for this trip. I'll be sending an email, more information in the next few days, and I'll be doing a few more before we get to Mongolia. I want to make sure everybody's comfortable, is ready, is excited about this wonderful journey. I love Mongolia, and once you're there, you will come back and say, I love Mongolia as well, and I want to go back. I want to go back. By the way, this here, before we pray and conclude, this here is part of a bigger project. This is our third mission trip with It Is Written, and we're planning and preparing for the grand finale next year in June, when Pastor Bradshaw will be there, and we're hoping for lots and lots and lots of medical professionals as well. We're hoping to do something that will really draw attention of the whole city to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We want to be known as the people who care for their community, and this is the very best way to do it. So we're planning something quite big next year, and I'm excited. And I'm glad, by the way, Michael Dunbar is there. He said he's from British Columbia. He's the president of Fountain View Academy, and Fountain View Academy, we're hoping and praying it will work out for them to be part of this journey as well next year. And we're so excited. They're interested in mission. So Michael will be with us this trip, and he's going to be looking around, asking questions, planning, preparing, so that he can bring his kids over next year. So this is important for us as Michael comes. All right. Hey, there she is again. Nice to see you, NK. Please don't drive and text and video and all that. Oh, if someone else is driving, good. Well, let's pray. And Pastor Bold, would you lead us in prayer as we conclude?
Yes, thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this opportunity for us to get together and serve your people. Lord, we are called to serve you and your people. So we appreciate all the people who had signed up to come to Mongolia. Please be with them, watch over them, and help us to commit ourselves so that you will take care of us. And we uplift all our needs to you, and we know that all the needs will be covered and provided. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness, and help us to serve you wholeheartedly. And please be with all the members. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye.
All right.
Good night.